The Alex Goldstein Property Show. Stray FM.
Welcome again to the Alex Goldstein Property Show, the number one property show on Stray FM. We aim to demystify the property sector and all things property related to help you make the right decisions when it comes to your property experience. My social media accounts are getting busier and busier, so look, don't be left behind. Follow me on Twitter at hashtag Alex O. Goldstein, or of course on Facebook and LinkedIn at Alex Goldstein Property Consultants. Now look, this month we will be putting Anthony from Rich Kitchens through his paces in the hot seat to get expert insight into kitchens and why there is such a huge variation in prices. We discuss how secure is your home with Patrick from Keybury Fire and Security to help you understand the importance of security and the steps you can take to make your home, well, as safe as houses. A huge amount to fit in as always, so we're straight on with it.
Property News with Alex Goldstein.
Stray FM.
In this month's Property News, we're talking about the election fever and estate agents. And of course, it's another chance to exercise our democratic right as we approach the 2017 general election. We've had Brexit and Trump, and now we get to vote on who we want to run our country. It remains to be seen whether the shock of these two surprise results is enough to prise people off their sofas and into the voting booth. But to be honest, I don't think it's simply complacency and inertia that will stop people voting this time. It will come down to if people trust the eventual Prime Minister in what they say they're going to do, and more importantly, what they're not saying. Contradictory promises, mudslinging, and a poor grasp of financial figures all need to be thrown aside. For really what I hear from my travels across Yorkshire, people just want to know the truth, put their full trust in the newly appointed leader, and just get on with it. Makes me think about, really, the way that people perceive estate agents. Now, regrettably, trust isn't a word readily associated with the sector, which today is often unjustified. Many agents really do a great job in what remains a difficult market. However, some of them still shoot themselves in the foot by using cliched phrases such as requires some updating, basically it's a money pit. Viewing recommended, keen to get at least one viewing, and my absolute personal favourite, deceptively spacious. Looks small because it is small. It leaves buyers feeling that they're being duped. The whole industry has really come a very long way since the 1970s, when dealing with agents was more like the Wild West and very few restrictions on how they operated. Nowadays, there are rules and regulations to protect you, the consumer. The sector's really sharpened up its act to shrug off this wide boy image that has dogged it for years. Although I'm not an estate agent myself, I do liaise with them on a daily basis, and I'm pleased to report that the vast majority are hardworking, decent and honest. Now, obviously with 15 years in property, I've developed long-term relationships with those I trust most. This kind of relationship takes time, energy and constant clear communication to develop so that each side is able to trust the other and do their job properly. Now, as I'm sure you know, the process of buying and selling houses doesn't always run smoothly, and it's at these times that the relationship is really tested. I'm very fortunate in that I know which agents I can rely on in those situations, which is why I can recommend them to my clients. I always work in my clients' best interests, and they trust me implicitly in this. The moment I lose this key factor, I might as well pack up and go live in a deceptively spacious property in need of updating with an easy-to-maintain garden close to local transport links. Otherwise known as a hole in the ground, some may argue that politicians should do the same. It's great to have Patrick from Keybury Fire and Security here in the studio, and we're just going to delve into home security and really just understand this sector a bit more. Patrick, thanks for coming in. Now, obviously, people have heard of ADT and Chubb and those larger companies out there, but what do you guys actually do? You're a smaller outfit, albeit, but what does it entail your side?
Well, we are a smaller company, but we do cover the whole of Yorkshire. We cover domestic systems, commercial systems for intruder alarms, CCTV, fire alarms, access control, fire risk assessments. So pretty much everything that the big boys do, but perhaps on a bit more of a personal sort of service compared to ringing through onto a switchboard where you might have a faceless person. You know, you would know who you're speaking to when you get through to us. When we ring you back, it's the same person who you can speak to. So a little bit more personalisation compared to what the bigger companies may offer.
Got you. And what do you guys do? I mean, you've outlined everything, but effectively, is it a case of if it's a property, you can put some security in it, and depending on the levels that are involved, you can sort of talk anyone through it?
Yeah, if you've got a property that you've got no idea about security in at all, then, you know, it's a clean canvas, and we would come in, listen to what your requirements may be. You may have something specific that you want to cover within the property. We will go away, we'll take the plans away, we'll have a look at the site and come up with some ideas on what we can propose for a new system for you. If you've already got an existing system, then we're quite capable as well of taking that over from a previous company and looking after that as well. So you don't have to have a brand new system installed.
How does it work? Just firstly on the CCTV side, because a lot of people say, well, look, I had some minor sort of CCTV cameras, just a couple put up back in the day.
Yep.
How can you get around that? Because again, I'm always mindful sort of client costs and that side of things. What can you do as the workaround?
Yes, if there's been a system that's been installed, and we do come across systems where perhaps somebody's bought it from a DIY shop or something like that, so it's cheaper perhaps in the short term, but in the long term it's not necessarily. We can come in and utilise the existing cabling that's in place, so you're not having to take floorboards up again and start, you know, taking the carpets up. We have systems that would fit across all sorts of different cabling that might have been installed. So
yeah.
Some of the newer systems nowadays go in with Cat5 cabling, Cat6. The older ones would have been on coaxial cable. But ultimately nowadays, people really would like HD images, whereas, yeah, you know, a long time ago, those images weren't really like anything they are today. So taking an old system that's been installed, taking the old hardware out, and then just putting in a new camera that would fit onto that old cabling isn't actually quite a big task nowadays to do.
And is there not also the wireless options that you sometimes see on the camera side? Is that ever an option, or if they've got issues?
We've always tended to sort of stay away from the wireless cameras. We've always done a hardwired system, basically from a reliability point of view.
I guess, is there a hacking risk as well?
There is, but also, you know, wireless can drop off now and again for whatever reason that might be, whereas on a wired system, it's all, the integrity is a lot more secure.
Yeah. And what's the latest sort of, I suppose, security tech that's coming out? Because I know you can get sort of some mobile phone apps and that side of things. Is just talk us through that and anything else.
Mobile phones are playing a big part in the marketplace for the security industry nowadays, and you know, a lot of people want to integrate the camera system at their houses onto their smartphones and their iPads remotely while they're not actually at the property. So if you've gone away on holiday and the intruder alarm is set and the cameras are all running 24/7 recording, if the intruder alarm activated, then that would send you a push notification through onto your mobile phone to say the alarm had activated. You can then log on to the cameras at your house, just have a look around the perimeter or internals if you've had them fitted inside. Once you've established if there's been a genuine activation, from there on you can either, you know, pass that through to the key holders or the police. But there's also the option, if it's somebody that, you know, a relative might have come in with a key and didn't realise the alarm was set, then you'll see that you're quite capable as well of turning the alarm system off via your phone wherever you may be.
Yeah, yeah.
Unsetting it, have a word with them, out they go. And then,
is it not the standing joke as well? You can log in to your mobile and actually watch your house being burgled. Does that happen at all? Or?
Well, I suppose in theory they could do that.
The other point that links in with this, on the alarm side of things, I mean, what is actually possible? I know everyone sort of just talks about and thinks of an alarm and it's a bell effectively in a box on the side of your house, but I think it's a bit more than that nowadays, isn't it?
Yes, alarm systems have come on quite a lot as well in the years. You can start at a very, very basic system, which, you know, it might just be an audible-only system within your property that would notify the neighbours of an external siren going off. There is also then the options up from that where that notification could then go through to a monitoring station. It can go through to your mobile phone on the app as well. You can have both. So the app would notify you But you might be aware and think, well, actually, what can I do here? So the monitoring station can then take control and say, right, well, we've got a list of key holders here, so we'll contact the key holders.
Yeah.
The one above that is the police response system. So if we have an alarm activation at a property on a police system, it works slightly different in that when the alarm system is set, then we would generate what's called a confirmed alarm. So how that would work is, if a burglar broke in through the kitchen and activated the alarm sensor, that would send the first signal through to the monitoring station to say we have an alert at this property.
Mm.
If they then proceeded to go through into the hallway, we've had two alarm sensors activate within a time window there.
Yeah.
So that is an instant confirmed alarm to the police monitoring station. So the police would come straight out to that one, followed on by the key holders on that system.
And what does it? How does it work? Say, for example, pets. You've got, dare say, could have been the pet cat that's sort of gone through the kitchen and then through into the hall. Can alarms tell the difference nowadays, or how do you get around that? Or you just have to leave your cat in a particular room?
You can have pet sensors now that can be installed on the system, designed around your requirements where the pet would stay. So there are sensors that will ignore a pet up to a certain size, and a dog and a cat. So that's workable within a system if you particularly want them to have free roam of the house. There's also options where you may give them the whole of the ground floor, for instance, where we could do vibration detection on the windows and glass break detection devices as well.
Ah, right, okay.
As opposed to just internal movement sensors.
Yeah.
Because the internal movement sensors are good, and somebody breaks in, they are actually in your house at that point, whereas you may be considering a perimeter protection type system as well. So there's quite a few variations on what you could use that for.
Fantastic stuff. Patrick, I can't thank you enough. Some really sort of great insight and expert tips. Now, if anyone wanted to sort of talk anything through with you guys in a bit more detail, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Well, we're on the web, www.keybury, that's keybury.co.uk. And the telephone number to call is 01423 876 348. So, yes, feel free to get in touch.
Fantastic. Patrick, thank you very much indeed.
The Property Hospital, Stray FM.
The Property Hospital is all about me answering your property concerns and demystifying the process. Now, this week, I'm answering a question from Chris, who's got this to say.
Hi, Alex. I'm moving soon and need to book a removal firm. I've already had some quotes, and they are so different, from a few hundred quid to over £1,000. Of course, I want to get the best deal, but I am afraid if I choose the cheapest, I might not get a good service. How do I know who to choose?
Excellent question, Chris. It's true. Costs between removal companies vary vastly, and it really is sometimes difficult to know whether paying more is worth it. Really, the best thing is to get three quotes and find out exactly what's included in the service. Now, I've actually just done this myself, and I personally felt paying more for a great removals firm was actually worth their weight in gold. After all, buying a property can be stressful, and why make it more stressful at the end? Trying to pack up in time, especially if you have children, and then forgetting which box items were in when you arrive at your new home is sometimes just not worth the hassle. Check out all the removal firms well in advance of your move date so that as soon as you reach exchange, you can book your favourite in. The good ones will get booked up very quickly, so you need to be on the ball. Check their insurance cover, who will be moving your items, and who will be your key point of contact. If you're unsure who to use, just let me know and I can point you in the right direction. I hope this helps.
The Property Hot Seat. Stray FM. Name.
Anthony Rich Kane.
Business.
Rich Kitchens.
Years experience.
Well over 10.
We are honoured indeed to have Anthony Rich Kane from Rich Kitchens here in the studio just to give us a great insight into, I think, at times a fairly mystical world of kitchens. Now, Anthony, look, everyone loves a great kitchen, but what are you really getting and what are you actually paying for? Because as I see it, and a lot of people see it, you can go to one of the big shed setups, the big DIY stores, shall we say, and you can spend a couple of thousand. You can then go to the very high end, and certainly, dare I say, in London and in and around Harrogate, you can then sort of go up to almost 100,000, sometimes even more, for a kitchen. What is going on behind the scenes here, and what are you actually paying for?
Okay, so realistically, you should be paying for the materials that are used. So that's either man-made woods or real woods, in fact. And also the methods used. So is it handmade? Is it manufactured in a large factory? That's the way they can keep the costs down. Are the doors wrapped or are they hand-painted? All these things make the costs heighten up massively. However, the biggest cost is really the company's overheads. That's what we found we come up against.
And you mean by overheads in terms of them having high street presence, do you mean?
Definitely.
A sort of a showroom of sorts, a big department store?
Definitely. So somebody with a showroom, their overheads are astronomical compared to somebody that's potentially working from a small office, has a small studio. Customers will buy into the large chains. However, they're paying a lot more just for that pleasure.
But is it not the case to say B&Q, huge outfit? Is it not a case then of economies of scale? They're buying in materials and goods at huge bulk. Dare I say, like the whole Aldi supermarket, they just buy in huge bulk and they offer their customers a discount. Does it not work like that necessarily?
Similarly, so though most high street brands and most high street names that we'll know of in the kitchen industries, they don't actually keep that much stock. So they are actually operating very similar to a small operation where a measure's done, a design is done. Once it's agreed, then the order is placed, then the kitchen is delivered from wherever.
And then they make it up, so they are literally running it to order.
Exactly.
Okay. No, so thank you very much indeed. And you're quite unusual, I think, in your role within the sort of the kitchen sector. How can you help people? How do you source things? I know you sort of mentioned a bit of a difference between smaller and the larger setups at the moment.
Okay, so the way we generally operate is we can service all the market. So we can offer one kitchen to an individual public member of the public, or we can source a kitchen to a tradesman, maybe buying a couple of kitchens a week. We can also provide over 300 kitchens as we do to one customer every year. The difference with us is we have a managed service. So it's myself at the helm, a couple of other chaps helping me out. But generally, it's a fully managed service from start to finish. We'll carry out the measure, we'll carry out designs, we'll give a couple of different designs. And that's the difference, is we will sit there and make sure the customer's happy rather than just saying, this is what you can fit in there.
Yep. So whereabouts are your kitchens coming from? How are you sourcing them? I know the sort of the larger setups, they've obviously got the sawmill back out somewhere. Where are you actually getting them from?
Okay, so we're actually members of three different global buying groups. So we're able to source from the UK and we're able to source from Germany. If it's a specific type of kitchen or brand that you're actually after, we can source that. By that, I don't mean the high street brand. Kitchens are manufactured in large factories. That is the brand. So if it's a German brand that you're after, we can pretty much source that kitchen at a fraction of the cost to a high street brand. You mentioned, Alex, earlier about London. There's a kitchen currently, I won't mention this store, but there is a kitchen currently in a showroom. It's listed at £140,000.
Gosh.
We could probably supply the same kitchen to a customer for around about 60.
Exactly the same. No corners cut. No corners cut. Nothing.
We've in fact taken customers over to Germany to view the factory, the warehouse where it's actually made, because people don't believe the saving. They don't believe it, so that sometimes they won't buy from us just because of that.
You often hear, and I suppose it's the same on the builder's side, that people sort of get the kitchens and they get stung by the fitters, it's not put together particularly well, or they're mid-job and then they sort of walk out for whatever reasons. Is there any safety net, or is there anything that the general members of the public should look out for as a possible pitfall to be mindful of?
Okay, so this question comes up quite often on pretty much every kitchen that we supply. Do you install? So as a business, we offer recommended installers. To anybody, I would say always go with the recommendation of the kitchen company supplying the kitchen, because their installers will be installing every single one of their kitchens, so they're already tried and tested.
What's the current sort of trend in kitchens? What's the new sort of gadget or the new tech, or Where's the market really heading at the moment, just to stay at the forefront of kitchens?
Well, what we're finding a lot of customers now, they're going more for a matte finish door. So the gloss era seems to be fading out, although there are some people that still want the gloss. Generally developers who assume they know what the end user wants.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you've got to drag them through and say, matte is the way forward.
And is that actually a sort of hand-finished paint that you mean? Because I know some of the glossy units are effectively a high polish sort of plastic veneer almost.
Yeah, it's both really. So I mean, you've got your wrapped doors that are in the matte still, and then you've got your hand painted in the higher ends, which have always been matte. So what you're finding is people are wanting to, as we said before, create the better look, create the look that looks more expensive but at a fraction of the price. So people are realizing actually the higher end ones are hand painted, not gloss.
Fantastic. Anthony, got to thank you very much indeed. Some great insight and some top tips there. Now, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
So you can get in contact with us through our website, which is www.richkitchens.com, or you can email us on hello@richkitchens.com.
That's great, Anthony. Really appreciate your time and thank you again.
Alex Goldstein's top tip.
Following on from Chris's excellent property hospital question, it brought to mind a question I get asked a lot by my clients, which is, when moving house, should you use a packing service, or is it better to save the money and pack up your house by yourself? Now, I personally always suggest using the packing service for the following reasons. Firstly, it usually costs a lot less than you think, and a contact of mine in the removals business explained that they keep the extra cost quite small because they'd much rather you let them do it. Their guys are trained to pack things properly and you're less likely to get breakages. Second point, any breakages that do occur should be covered by the removal firm's insurance. If you've packed yourself, it's fairly unlikely to be the case. Thirdly, the removal guys are going to be a serious amount quicker than you, and the stress of just having to face it will be lifted from your shoulders. Moving house is one of the most stressful things you can do, so do yourself a favour and let someone else take this on. And the last point, but take note, they will pack absolutely everything, down to the very last holy sock in your drawer. So do a thorough declutter before moving day, so that you don't waste time and money having to unpack rubbish you would have planned to get rid of anyway. That's the Alex Goldstein Property Show, and yet again, some amazing top tips and features. If you need expert information, videos and up-to-the-minute property news, then head over to the website alexgoldstein.co.uk. Alternatively, if you require personalised advice that's built on 15 years of experience when it comes to buying or selling property, just get in touch directly. The next episode is out on the 1st of July, so make sure you tune in for that. Until next time.